ॐ ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य घनञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मायं ददाति सापदन्तिकम् पंशकौपाथरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. So greetings from Vrindavan. Very busy time. We have several groups here. And I'm holding morning and evening class. And not advertising, but the morning class, my room is packed. It's discussing very interesting things. So many nice people here. So we're discussing the chapter Sringara Ras, Sringara Surup and Vipralamba. Sringara means it's the charm of the Madhurya Ras, the conjugal love with Krishna. And there are two kinds. There is Vipralamba, love and separation, and Sambhog, meeting. And right now he's discussing the characteristics of Vipralamba. And it's in separation. And when one is in separation from that, and it nourishes the mood of meeting. As Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj said, that prema is like a river that's flowing intensely, and it has two embankments, the embankment of union and the embankment of separation. And the discussion is very scholarly now, and Vijay asked how many types of Vipralamba are there. And he describes there are four types: Purvarag, Man, Prem Vichitya, and Pravas. And now he's talking about Purvarag, which is the enchantment that arises when the hero and heroine see each other before they actually meet. So it's the feeling of separation before they actually meet. And generally, it's the mood of the gopis. And there are different ways they hear about each other. And sometimes they hear sages citing prayers. They become attracted, or they hear directly from the lip of another gopi or messenger. We'll hear some songs. And it's now describing the different aspects of these Purvarag, and there were three. One where it's fully matured, it's called Prodha. One when it's intermediate, Samanjasa. And one where it's general, which is Sadharan. And then we discuss the mature state of Purvarag, and then the Shas. The Shas are the different stages. And I think we would discuss different stages like sleeplessness, all the symptoms of that. I'm just trying to get to the part where we are. Then we're discussing Samanjasa, and we'll discuss that. So this is the second stage. It's called intermediate. And again, I feel as a representative of Prabhupada, I always have to give the warning that we didn't jump to this. People who have been listening to the very beginning. And as the descriptions become more and more advanced, as the protagonists are advancing more and more, the subject matter may have less direct relevance to our lives, but it's at least good to read through them and get some idea, and perhaps develop an appropriate aspiration for this. The appropriate aspiration. And we're discussing, very interesting, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhakti Lok, where he analyzes the second and third verse of the second and third verse of the Upadeshamrita. We're discussing the second verse now, which are the obstacles, and we got to the stage of Nima Agraha. Too much or too little affection for the rules. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that there are so many different stages in spiritual life. There's stages of practices, karma, gyan, and bhakti. There's different stages of spiritual advancement from shraddha to prem. There's different ashrams. And that although most rules, when you get into bhakti, apply to all stages, for example, chanting Hare Krishna, worship the guru, worship the deity, you know, how you do, that not all rules are the same, and some rules are appropriate for particular stages. He calls that conditional, and this constitutional. So there's conditional rules that are appropriate. There may be a rule that's appropriate when you're married and not appropriate when you're not. There may be even rules that are maybe somewhat gender-specific a little bit. It's maybe not such a good example because for several reasons, which I won't go in here now. But, and if you have too little affection for the rule, you won't be following the rule that is appropriate for you. And if if you have too much affection for the rule, you'll be following rules that are not appropriate for you. So there's different rules that are appropriate for different stages and other rules that are not appropriate for different stages. And if you have these tendencies, your bhakti will be obstructed. Unless you get good association and study the shastra and transcend personal prejudice, there's a big difficulty of filtering the world through our childhood, basically. You know, someone is an atheist. Why? Because he had problems with his father. In fact, the four horsemen of atheism had problems with their father, and therefore they. So it's hard to be, you know, objective. We have these tendencies, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out this particular tendency. Someone, you know, a German mentality has too much affection for the rules. You know, something like that. Maybe another mentality has too little affection for the rules. And we should base things on not just what the rule is, but what is the appropriate rule for us and what is the appropriate application of that rule. I noticed one thing that happens when people come to Krishna consciousness They get freaked out by the rules. They walk into a temple. They don't know what side to take. They don't know what to do. And if the people in the temple have that mood that these rules are so important, that, you know, they start to, impose themselves on others, then, it disturbs Krishna consciousness. Anyway, without getting into that, but one thing is for sure, too, that there are certain subject matters, meditations, etc., that are not appropriate for us, but we may take to because we don't have sufficient affinity for the rules of our particular status. Or at a level of advancement, we might not take to particular practices because we have we're too attached to particular rules. That being said, we can read through it. It's nice to know. So now this Samanjasa Purva Rag, these feelings before meeting. And in this, we'll discuss the conditions of it. Vijay asked, what is the meaning of Abhilas? Abhilas refers to endeavors to meet one's beloved, and its anubhavs are decorating one's body, approaching the beloved on the pretext of doing something else, and displaying one's attraction towards him. So if you read the Leelas, this will be manifest within it. You'll recognize what is the nature of chintya. Chinta, so this is another symptom, is meditation on how to achieve association with one's lovers, such as informing him of one's condition through a Brahman or sending a letter. Its symptoms are tossing and turning in bed, long, deep breathing and gazing. So one who knows Rasa Shastra and reads the dramas written by Rupa Goswami, etc., they'll be able to identify that this is just not an external thing, but it's a symptom of this intense love and separation. What is meant by smriti here? So smriti is a deep absorption in thoughts of the beloved whose association has been experienced by seeing him and hearing about him and his beauty. So deep thoughts is also part of this mood of Sringara Ras in Samajasa. His ornaments, his pastimes and various blissful dealings, his beauty, everything related to him, one's meditating on it. And the anubhavs is one is trembling, they get exhausted, their body color trade, they're crying, they become detached, they're breathing deeply. What is Guna Kirtan? Guna Kirtan is the glorification of the Nayakas, that's Krishna's qualities, such as his form and beauty. And it's anubhavs. Anubhavs means actions that come from this, including trembling, hair standing on end, choking of the voice, anxiety, lamentation, accompanied by madness, inertia, longing for death. These six symptoms are manifest in Samanjasa Purva Rag to the same extent as they are in Samanjasa Rati. Now, please explain the symptoms of Sadharan Purva Rag. So three Purva Rags, Prodha, very mature. What is that again? Samanjasa, intermediate, and Sadhara, general. So there's different degrees of intensity, but the feeling is still there. And it's also pure love. So they describe when the feelings reach its height, when the feelings are intermediate and the feelings are a little less. So this is when it's a little less. So in this condition, the first six stages up to lamentation appear in a mild way. I do not feel to give the examples here because they are very simple. In this type of purvarag, the lover and the beloved exchange love letters, kama, leka, patra, garlands, and so on through conditioning. So the passion is a little subdued. One is not just overwhelmed, breathing heavily, lamenting, etc., but he's thoughtfully writing letters and making plans. What are the kama, leka, patra love letters? Love letters are expression of mutual sentiments in writing. There are two kinds, sakshara, those written with letters, or the inscription of the alphabet, and narakshara, those written without using letters. So these are exchanges between Radha and Krishna. So what are the narakshara without any inscriptions? So an example is a symbolic letter, half moon shaped impression made with a nail on a red colored leaf without any mark or letter. So you just send a symbol of your love and separation. And what are the sakshara, written kamaleka, written love letters are letters exchanged between the Nayaka and Nayika, hero and heroine, that they have written in their own handwriting, expressing their heartfelt emotional state in neutral language. These love letters are written with colored inks, which are obtained either from minerals from the mountains by squeezing red flowers, from the kumkum powder. Large flower petals are used instead of paper for writing on, and the letters are tied with fibers from the stalks of lotuses. So these happen in the pastimes of Krishna. It's so rich. Everything is based on this rasa coming to its height. What is the gradual development of Purva Rag? Goswami, some say that affection is aroused at first simply by seeing one's beloved. This is followed by contemplation, attachment, making a vow, desire for meeting, sleeplessness, emaciation, distaste for everything else, loss of shyness, madness, falling unconscious and longing for death, in that order. Such is the extension of the intensity of calm. Purvarag manifests both in the Nayaka and Nayakas, but it appears in the Nayakas first. So it appears first in Radha and then Krishna, although they both have these sense. Now the second one, remember there were four different ones of separation: Purvarag, Man, Prema, Vichitya, and one other, which will come up. So, Goswami, Man is the bhava that prevents the Nayaka and Nayika from engaging in their cherished activities, embracing, looking at each other, kissing, talking in a pleasing way, and so forth. Even though they are both in the same place and they share a deep attachment to each other, Man causes the appearance of sanchari bhavs such as despondency, doubt, anger, restlessness, pride, jealousy, concealing the sentiments, guilt, and serious. What is the underlying principle of Man? The basis of Man is pranaya. Man does not normally arise prior to the stage of pranaya. And even if it does, it's only in a contract or unraised state. There are two types of man with a cause, a hetu, and man without a cause, the hetu. So man basically means transcendental anger. So you're the Gopi, when Radha becomes upset, she leaves Krishna. One of the classic examples is that Krishna comes out of Radha Kund and his chest is very shiny. Radha sees the reflection, and in her transcendental emotion of love, she thinks someone else is in Krishna's heart, and then she won't see Krishna. And it's an intense stage of love. And here it says, it doesn't arise until a higher stage of prema, because the stages of prema are prema, sneha, rag, anurag, pranaya, man, bhava, mahabhav. So, now, what is the thing? So this anger can arise with cause or without cause. But let's just appreciate that this has some relevance, that Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Bhakti Vinod Thakur, they detailed all these things for advanced practitioners to understand the dramas describing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and get some appreciation for them. And for us to really understand some basic principles of spiritual sentiments and to perhaps develop an aspiration that one day I can have this, I can experience this. So here's with cause. Jealous feelings arise in the heart of the gopis when she sees or hears about Krishna behaving with special affection for a gopi from the rival or marginal groups. When this jealousy becomes overwhelmed by pranaya, love, it develops into sahitu mad. It is long been held that there is no fear without sneha. Similarly, there can be no jealousy without pranaya. In this way, all the various expressions of man only illuminate the intensity of prema between Radha and Krishna. Radha's heart, the gopis' hearts are imbued with bhava, such an intense, loving possessiveness for her beloved. When she sees Krishna, who is exceedingly attached to her, favoring a rival gopi and sporting with her, she becomes restless and impatient. Once in Dwarka, Sri Krishna presented a parijata flower to Sri Rukmini. However, all the queens heard about this incident. Only Satyabhama's heart was overpowered by man. Satyabhama's man was aroused when she understood the unique position afforded to her rival. How many ways are there discovering the special position of the rivals? So this is what disturbs when you hear. What is the cause? You hear about a rival with Krishna. There are three ways: hearing, inference, and seeing. What is hearing? Shruta vipaksha, the shishna become, comes about when the gopis hear from a close gopi or parrot about the pastimes of Krishna with a gopi from the opposing party. What is anumati vipaksha? This is inference. This occurs when the gopis see the body of her lover bears evidence of amorous pastimes with another gopi. When she hears her lover inadvertently say the name of a rival gopi, when she sees her rival gopi in a dream, the marks of union seen on the body of Krishna and a rival gopi are called boganka. And speaking the name of a rival nayaka, a rival gopi, is called Gotra Skalana. When this occurs, the gopis feel that it is more painful than death. So this is love. I'd like to hear about an example of Gotra Skalana. Wait one second, please. I don't know what that is. Let me just read it. It may become clear. once when Krishna was returning to his home after spending time with Srimati Radha, he suddenly met with Trandavali. Sri Krishna inquired about her. "Oh, Radhe, is everything fine with you?" When Trandavali heard Krishna speaking like this, she replied rather angrily, "Oh, Kamsa, are you well?" "Well?" Krishna was surprised and asked her, "Oh, beautiful one, why are you so bewildered?" Trandavali became flushed with anger and promptly replied, "Where have you seen Radha around here?" Then Krishna understood the situation and thought to himself, "Oh, I have addressed Trandavali as Radha by mistake." Understanding his own mistake, he felt ashamed and lowered his face. He was also smiling mildly to see Trandavali's spontaneous and cunning eloquence, which resulted from her jealousy. "May this Hari, who dispels all miseries, protect us." So it's such an interesting story. Krishna, he sees Trandavali, he's meditating on Radha, and he says, "Oh, Radha, how are you? Are you well?" And Trandavali is so sharp, she says, "Oh, Kamsa, how are you?" And then Krishna like said, "Oh my God, I I made a mistake here." But then he also appreciated how much her love. What is the understanding of the particular position of arrival through a dream? The activities of Krishna and his Vidushika friends while dreaming are examples of this. For example, on one occasion, Krishna and Trandavali were sleeping on the same bed after amorous pastimes. While dreaming, Krishna said, "Oh, Radhe, I promise you that you alone are the most beloved. Only you are inside and outside my heart. Only you are in front of me and behind me and everywhere. What more can I say? Only you are present in my house in Govardhan and in its forest valleys." When Trandavali heard Sri Krishna speaking like this in a dream, she got up from bed due to anger, man arising in her heart, and walked away. Now here is one of Madhu Mangala's dreams. Once he was sleeping on a raised platform outside a kunj in which Krishna and Trandavali were engaged in happy pastimes. In his dream, he said, "Oh, Madhavi, Krishna is talking very expert and flattering Padmasakhi Trandavali, just to deceive her. Try to bring Radha here quickly so that she can meet with Krishna. Don't worry." So Madhu Mangal is a Priyanarma Sukha. He's a friend who is so confidential. He can assist in the conjugal pastimes, and he's resting. And then he has a dream where he reveals, you know, what is a dream? It's your experiences during the day. And in his dream, Krishna is talking to him, and Krishna is very flattering Trandavali just to deceive her. When Trandavali heard Madhu Mangal speaking like this, she became distressed. At that time, Padma was sitting in nearby kunj, and when she saw Trandavali's condition, she said to Shaiva, "Sakhi, just see how miserable Trandavali's face has become." When she heard Madhu Mangal talking in his dream, she has lowered her head. She is burning with grief. Vijay, what is directly seeing? This means that the Goswami answers Vijay's question. This means that the gopi directly sees her Krishna engaged in pastimes with another gopi. What is the cause? Causeless man. So what is anger that has no cause? Causeless man develops between Radha and Krishna when pranayama, intense prema, is enhanced by an apparent cause for man, although there is no cause for man in reality. Pandits have concluded that man is the effect of pranaya, high prema, and that causeless man is nothing but an extension of pranaya, intense prema, arising from its joyful pastimes. They call this causeless man pranaya man. The previous authorities also maintain that movements and dealings of prema are crooked like the movements of a stake. Therefore, two kinds of man or anger are evident in the dealings between Krishna and the gopis. Man or anger without cause and man with cause, the Vyabhacharis in this rasa is concealing one's emotions and feelings. How is causeless man pacified? So how do you stop something that doesn't have a cause? It's very difficult. So this anger is pacified by itself. It does not need any remedial measures. When laughter occurs, then the man disappears automatically. However, to pacify sahetuman, that which is cause, that which has a cause, the Krishna has to adopt many appropriate means, such as sama, count consoling words, beda, diplomatic remarks, kriya, taking an oath, I promise I'll never do this again, don, presentations, gifts, nutti, bowing down, upeksha, neglect and apparent indifference, and vasantara, a sudden change of mood. The sign that the gopi's mind has been pacified is that the Krishna wipes away her tears and there is laughter and so on. So this is so interesting. You can see how people could use this in writing dramas or understanding dramas or understanding deeply Krishna's pastime. So when there's a cause, then Krishna will console and he'll be diplomatic. He'll take an oath, I'll never do this. He'll give gifts. He bows down. I'm sorry. What is sam? Consolation with words. Sam is the use of sweet, pleasing words and promises to pacify the gopis. And what is bay? Diplomatic remarks. There are two kinds of bay. One is expressing one's greatness by various gestures and iterations, and the other is rebuking the gopi indirectly through the sakis. What is don? Presentation. Don is the deceitful presentation of ornaments and other gifts. What is nati? Humble submission. Nati means to fall at the gopi's feet with all possible humility. We saw that in Mankutir, where it's Mankutir because Krishna found Radha found Krishna the gopi and left her, and then Krishna came up on the hill and he was begging forgiveness and crying, and his tears washed her feet and she gave him. And what is upeksha? Neglect or indifference, upeksha, is the mood of apparently abandoning the gopi when all other means of pacifying her anger prove fruitless. Others say that upeksha refers to using remarks with double meaning to please the gopis. We'll read one more, and it's an example from Radhakrishna pastimes. Vasanta is the sudden creation of fear in the gopi's mind by words or by some natural occurrence. There are two types of vasantara, which occur by itself, and that which is created by sharp intelligence of Krishna. Here an example of a change of mind that takes place simultaneously. Once Krishna was unable to pacify Bhadra's mind despite various endeavors. Suddenly there was a tremendous sound of thunder, which frightened Bhadra so much that she once embraced Krishna, who was sitting in front of her. Here is an example of pacifying Man by an intelligent plan. Once Radhika was deeply absorbed in Man, transcendental anger, Krishna was supremely playful by nature, saw he could not pacify it by any means, so he played a charming trick. He personally made a very beautiful flower garland and placed it around the neck of Srimataji. She angrily took the garland off her neck and threw it away, and by the will of providence, it fell on Krishna. He immediately screwed up his eyes, made a face as if he had been badly injured, and sat in one corner looking very depressed. Seeing this, Radhaji became restless and anxious, and she held Krishna's shoulder with her hands. Then Krishna laughed and enfolded his strong emotional embrace. Are there any questions or comments? Or someone say hello?
Hi, Krishna.
Yeah, hi, Bo.
Yeah, I did have one question, one comment question.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just surprised to hear about Chandravali's mind, because you always hear that she's just so submissive and, you know, you never hear about her getting angry.
I think regardless of what one's disposition is, even if they're that submissive mood, there's a limit to it. And there's also a limit to the anger.
What?
There's also a limit to the anger. Yeah. Okay, Gail, thank you for coming on. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Vajrade.
Vajrade, so faithful. Very nice. Thank you. And keep up your nice service. You're worshiping Radha and Krishna and dressing them. That's such a nice service to cultivate a spontaneous mood of devotion. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Priya.
Priya, very nice. Maybe this will help you in some of your drawings when you get more details like this. Okay. Okay. Priya, are you there?
Yeah.
Did your mother serve out the Brijbashi rotis yet?
I think so.
You think so? Okay. Okay.
Oh, Jai Shirade finished them all already.
Jai Shirade finished them all. Okay. Jai Shirade, are you there?
And she...
What's that?
She shared with my dad,
I'm listening. Oh, okay. Okay. Jai Shirade, are you there? Yeah, I want them to know what do you know what they took with the Brijbashi rotis? No. Okay.
I think they made dal Guru Maharaj. This is
they made dal. Okay. Okay.
Yes, I think they made dal.
Kishori, how's your separation?
Oh, so intense.
My God. What's that?
We heat them up with ghee. It was delicious.
What's that? Oh, okay. Okay. We keep on having groups coming. The Iranians are still here. Hari Kirtan and Elizabeth just left. We had a nice send-off to the rest of the people that were here, and just more and more people are coming. Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.